Project. I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear stories from Gina Bennett, Dan Friedel, Dorothy Gundy, and Andrew Smith. We close the program with a new and tasty everyday grammar lesson from John Russell. He then joins me in the studio. But first, here are Gina and Dan.
Next time you see a globe, close your eyes and turn it quickly so it spins. Then stop it with your finger. Chances are that you will stop on a body of water. That is because water covers 71% of the Earth's surface. If you do not land on water, maybe you will discover a place you have never visited or even knew about. Depending on the age of the globe, the place might be called something other than what it is called today. Politics changes national borders and city names over time. You can use a globe to see what is on the other side of the world from where you are. Looking at a globe might make you think more about the April 8th eclipse, when the moon temporarily blocked the sun as seen from parts of the Earth.
Peter Bellerby makes globes in London. He thinks the human interest in finding our place in the cosmos is why globes remain popular. This is the case, although computers and smartphones can tell us exactly where we are and where we are going. Bellerby made a globe in 2008 for his father's birthday. Although it cost a lot of money, the experience inspired him. He started a globe-making business. 16 years later, he has more than 20 people who work with him. They are artists, map makers, and woodworkers. "You don't go onto Google Earth to get inspired," he said. Bellerby's studio is filled with globes in different states of completion. A globe is very much something that connects you to the planet that we live on. Over time, Bellerby has also become an expert in world politics and borders. He said he often talks with officials in areas such as the Middle East, India, China, and North Africa to be sure his globes have the correct markings. There is also the question of whether globes are useful or only works of art. Because they must be started and completed, they will only be a picture in time. National borders, for example, change. A globe shows things as they were at the time it was made.
Jan Mokri is vice president of the International Coronelli Society for the Study of Globes in Vienna, Austria. Mokri said globes are important because people like to turn them, and the maps are artistic works. Perhaps a certain nostalgia effect also plays a role, just as old cars and mechanical watches still exert a certain attraction on people, Mokri said. Joshua Nall directs the Whipple Museum of the History of Science in Cambridge, England. He noted that technology such as Google Earth gives students more information about the world. However, a physical globe shows the learning, the erudition, the political interests of its owner. Nall added that people are buying globes as beautiful things to have in their homes. Bellerby's globes are works of art. His small ones cost about $1,900, while the largest ones, which are more than 1 meter in diameter, can be tens of thousands of dollars. The company makes about 600 globes per year. The process begins with the sphere itself and progresses to placing map pieces, called gores, on the globe. The gores fit together to completely cover the sphere. Artists then work to decorate the globe with paint, using deep blue and green for the oceans and yellow, green, and brown for the land. The designs can be complex. They can include mountains, sea creatures, even dragons. Different kinds of people buy Bellerby's products. They include people who want a family gift, political leaders, art collectors, and movie studios. His globes have been in movies including Hugo and Tetris. One of the 1.2-meter models, called the Churchill, is on display in a museum in Berlin, Germany. While globes are works of art, Bellerby said globe making is a political minefield. For example, China does not recognize Taiwan as a country. Morocco does not recognize Western Sahara. India and Pakistan dispute their northern border. Many Arab countries, such as Lebanon, do not recognize Israel.
If Bellerby makes a globe for a foreign buyer, a mistake about a sensitive name or border could cause customs officials to hold up a costly sale. Bellerby's artists mark disputed borders on the globe. He said, "We cannot change or rewrite history." The oldest surviving globe dates to about 1492. It is called the Erdapfel, which is German for earth apple. A German explorer who worked for the King of Portugal made the globe. It contains details such as where valuable goods could be found and trade rules. However, it does not show North or South America, since Europeans did not yet know about them. The German National Museum has the globe, known as the Behaim Globe for the explorer who created it. The museum notes that the globe shows how much the creation of our modern world was based on the violent appropriation of raw materials, the slave trade, and plantation farming. The museum calls the period the first stage of European subjugation and division of the world. Two of the world's most famous globes were created about 450 years later for British Prime Minister Winston Churchill and U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt. They were each 1.2 meters in diameter. The Weber Costello Company near Chicago, Illinois, created the globes with the help of 50 government geographers, mapmakers, and draftsmen. The Roosevelt Globe is at the former president's library in New York, and Churchill's is in his family home in Kent, England. Bellerby wrote that the globes were supposed to help the leaders make war plans during World War II, but in reality, the gifts were a simple PR, public relations, exercise, an important weapon in modern warfare. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Gina Bennett.
In the middle of the 20th century, computer scientists dreamed of building a computer as smart as humans. Now, tech companies are in a race to build it. Called Artificial General Intelligence, or AGI, the systems would do much more than current AI technology. AGI would be as good as humans in many areas of human thinking. These include planning, problem-solving, and learning from experience. Google, Meta, Microsoft, Amazon, and ChatGPT maker OpenAI are all working to develop AGI. At the same time, governments and leading AI scientists worry about ways the technology could be dangerous for humanity.
As artificial intelligence has developed, the meaning of AGI has changed over time. Jeffrey Hinton is a scientist who helped create the first AI systems. He told the Associated Press that 20 years ago, people would have agreed that a system like ChatGPT had general intelligence. But now people think AGI should be able to do more than what ChatGPT does. Still, scientists have not yet agreed on a clear definition of AGI. I don't think there is agreement on what the term means, Hinton said by email. Most current artificial intelligence systems are generative AI. That means they produce things such as texts or images. While generative AI is mainly limited to such tasks, AGI could do many different kinds of work. Pei Wang is a professor who teaches an AGI course at Temple University in the American state of Pennsylvania. He helped organize the first AGI conference in 2008. He said that adding the letter G to AI sent an important message. It showed that computer scientists still want to do the big thing. We don't want to build tools. We want to build a thinking machine, Wang said.
Finding agreement on how to measure AGI is one of the issues that will be discussed next month at an AGI conference in Vienna, Austria. This really needs a community's effort and attention so that, mutually, we can agree on some sort of classifications of AGI, said Jiaxuan Yu. He is an assistant professor at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. OpenAI, based in the state of California, says its nonprofit board of directors will decide when its systems have reached AGI. OpenAI defines AGI as a system that can outperform humans at most economically valuable work. If OpenAI develops AGI, its partner Microsoft will not have the rights to make money from it. In 2020, Microsoft signed an agreement with OpenAI that gave Microsoft the rights to OpenAI's AI models. However, that agreement is supposed to end once OpenAI has created AGI.
Last year, the 76-year-old Hinton quit his job at Google. He wanted to share his worries about the possible dangers of AI. A recent study in the journal Science also warned of AI systems able to plan for the future. Michael Cohen is a researcher at the University of California, Berkeley, and lead writer of the study. He said he worries that an AGI system might create plans to make humans disappear. I hope we've made the case that people in government need to start thinking seriously about exactly what regulations we need to address this problem, Cohen said.
Some people in the tech industry want to develop AGI slowly and carefully. Still, companies are competing to develop the systems. London-based DeepMind was founded in 2010 with the goal of developing AGI. It is now owned by Google. OpenAI was founded in 2015 to develop AGI, but with the added goal of making the technology safe. In January, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said his company's long-term goal was to build full general intelligence. At Amazon, the head scientist for the voice assistant Alexa changed job titles to become head scientist for AGI. Yu, the University of Illinois researcher, said working on AGI may help tech companies find the most talented computer scientists. He said many researchers would choose to work on AGI instead of generative AI. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Everyday Grammar, we continue a trip around the world. But instead of seeing famous places, we will learn about wonderful foods of different countries. We will also learn about grammar and writing along the way. In a recent lesson, we explored how to describe a national dish. We asked our listeners and readers around the world to write us messages about their country's national dish. Today, we give feedback on some of the writing that we received. Let's start in Ukraine. Here is part of a message Yanina wrote to us.
Borscht is the national dish of Ukraine. Borscht consists of water, vegetables, meat, and spices.
Yanina's message was wonderful. Yanina used the structures we described in our previous lesson, the phrasal verb consist of, as well as exact nouns, water, meat, and spices. Our main suggestion is to include a few more details about borscht. Perhaps use adjectives such as savory, spicy, or rich. For example, you might say borscht is a rich, savory dish that consists of water, vegetables, meat, and spices. Next, we read part of a message from May in Taiwan.
Beef noodle is the national dish of Taiwan. It is a cozy dish that consists of noodles, boneless beef, and full of vegetables. Every year, the Taipei International Beef Noodle Festival holds a competition to find Taiwan's best beef noodle soup.
Our main suggestions are to include soup at the beginning of the message and remove full of from its position before the noun vegetables. We might change the first sentence to this.
Beef noodle soup is the national dish of Taiwan. It is a cozy dish that consists of noodles, boneless beef, and vegetables.
We especially enjoyed May's use of the adjective cozy. It suggests warmth and comfort. The term really helps bring the dish to life. Now let's learn about Brazil's national dish. Here is part of a message from Leonardo.
Feijoada is the national dish of Brazil. It's a delicious dish that consists of rice, black beans, pork, and kale. And get better when you have it drinking caipirinha.
Leonardo's message described the dish very well. Our main suggestions are for the final sentence. We suggest including a subject, as in the dish, and including the short word with. Also, a caipirinha is the national alcoholic drink of Brazil. We might update the sentence to something like this.
And the dish gets better when you drink a caipirinha with it.
Now let's turn to part of a message from Julia in Russia.
The traditional national dish is soup shi, or cabbage soup. It is in two versions. In first version, the main ingredient is fresh cabbage. In second version, the main ingredient is sauerkraut.
Julia's message was very interesting because it explored two versions of the same dish, one with fresh cabbage and one with preserved or pickled cabbage known as sauerkraut. Our main suggestions are to include known as in the first sentence and to change the structure of the following sentences a little. One way to update the message might be like this.
The traditional national dish is a soup known as shi or cabbage soup. There are two versions of it. In the first version, the main ingredient is fresh cabbage. In the second version, the main ingredient is sauerkraut.
Finally, let's examine part of a message from Firuza. The message describes Iran's national dish.
Gorma sabzi is the national dish of Iran. It is main dish that consists of red beans, vegetable, dried lemu, and meat. It is served with rice.
Firuza's message was clear and easy to understand. Our central suggestions are to remove main and add an S to the verb consist. Also, be sure to not capitalize the nouns vegetable, meat, and so on. These nouns are not capitalized because they are not at the beginning of a sentence and are not proper nouns. That means they are not names of people or places, for example. We might update the message to something like this.
Gorma sabzi is the national dish of Iran. It is a dish that consists of red beans, vegetables, dried limes, and meat. It is served with rice.
We enjoyed reading all the messages sent to us by our readers and listeners. Of course, there were messages that we did not include in this lesson or the previous lesson. We wish that we could have included all of them. Still, we hope that everyone can take some ideas from today's report. We also hope that you have learned a little about the wonderful kinds of dishes that exist in the world. I'm John Russell.
Just heard this week's Everyday Grammar from John Russell. He joins me now to talk a little more about the lesson. Welcome, John.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me on the show.
Both last week's lesson and this week's lesson gave writing feedback on national dishes. What do you think was the biggest issue that you noticed in terms of grammar in both lessons?
If I had to choose one issue, I would probably say article usage.
Articles are short words like a or the.
That's right. We say that articles are determiners. They tell us something about a noun. Determiners tell us if a noun is general or specific. Articles are one kind of determiner.
And we place articles, a or the, at the beginning of a noun phrase.
That's right. So we might say, the best dessert is apple pie.
The introduces the noun phrase, the best dessert.
That's correct. But if we left out the article, it might be, best dessert is apple pie.
And here, English speakers might think the language is unnatural because the noun phrase does not have the article.
That's right. Articles are small words that are easy to forget about. But in writing, article usage becomes important, particularly if you want to take your writing to a higher level.
That is true. Important advice, John. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and thanks for that lesson.
Thanks for having me. See you next time.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.